John the Forerunner. The work of redemption began with Jesus' consecration to death at 30 years of age, symbolized by his baptism. There, he who was made flesh for the purpose gave himself to be a ransom price for all, to be testified to all in due time. The humbling of the Logos to take human nature, the birth of the babe of Bethlehem, and the years of development afterward were incidental. Similarly, the work of John the Baptizer was a preparation. His mission was the announcement of Jesus as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He reproved sin and exhorted to righteousness as necessary to all who would receive Messiah and be received and blessed by him as sharers in the kingdom he would establish. John preached, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye." Only the Israelites indeed, without guile, received Messiah and became associates in his glorious work. John's baptism was the washing away of sins against the Jewish law and was intended only for Jews not wholly faithful. John's baptism symbolized cleansing from defilement and was preached to the Jews and was applicable to them only. Gentiles were excluded. How could they repent and get back into covenant relationship when they had never been in relationship? The Jews, still under the covenant made with them at Sinai through its mediator Moses, had relationship with God. For, as St. Paul says, they were all baptized into Moses, in the sea and in the cloud. Every Israelite in heart relationship with God through Moses was transferred from Moses to Christ and needed no additional baptism into Christ because already accepted in Moses, the type of Christ. When the call began to go to the Gentiles, several at Ephesus believed and were baptized by John's baptism as though they had been Jews. This was a mistake. At St. Paul's word, they were rebaptized into Christ's death. Gentiles needed to be baptized directly into Christ's death. The baptism of Jesus. When Jesus presented himself to John at Jordan to be baptized, it caused surprise. John declared, "I have more need to ask you to baptize me. You have no sin to wash away." Jesus did not explain the matter. He merely said, "Suffer it to be so now." He thus intimated that he was not following John's baptism to wash away sins, but that his baptism had another special meaning which he did not disclose. St. Paul explains to us that Jesus' baptism symbolized his full consecration of his life to God as a sacrifice even unto death. Jesus afterward indicated that his entire ministry was a fulfillment of the consecration made at 30 when he was baptized. It symbolized his immersion into death, yielding his life to the service of God. At the close of his ministry, he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" The next day on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." His baptism into death, begun at Jordan, was there completed. In this matter, the followers of Jesus copy him. They are baptized into his death, and thus into his body, the church. This baptism into the Christ company or body will not be completed until the last member shall have passed into death. Then the baptism of Christ as a whole will be finished. Then beyond the veil, by the first resurrection, the entire body will receive glory, honor, and immortality, and be joined heirs with Jesus in the kingdom then established. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign. As Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens, higher things, were opened to him. Heavenly truths became clearer. He could understand the deep things of God. This enlightenment came by the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So his followers receive a measure of the Spirit, begetting them as sons of God joint heirs with Christ, they also are illuminated. Gospel of the kingdom. For more than 16 centuries, Israel had waited and prayed for the coming of Messiah's kingdom to exalt them and to bless the world. The announcement that the kingdom was at hand was a good message, or gospel. But not enough Jews were in condition of heart to be Israelites indeed, worthy to share with Jesus in the glorious service of his great, long-promised kingdom. He came unto his own people, but his own received him not. They crucified him. But to as many as received him, few, he gave the liberty or privilege of becoming sons of God, of passing from the house of servants under Moses to the house of sons under the headship of Jesus. This was effected at Pentecost by the begetting of the Holy Spirit. Not enough worthy Jews being found, the kingdom offer was withdrawn from them, and for 19 centuries, God has been completing the foreordained number from saintly Gentiles. Outward signs and the prophecies demonstrate that the kingdom was not set of them and did not begin to bless the world. Instead, all the unready of Israel were broken off from divine favor for a time, while the call to the kingdom was sent to the Gentiles to take out of them a people to complete the foreordained body of Christ. Holy, saintly characters from every nation have been gathering for 19 centuries. Until now, the number is nearly complete and the kingdom about to be established. When, therefore, the election of the spiritual seed of Abraham shall be accomplished, this gospel age will end. Then will begin the messianic age in which Christ and the church shall reign in spirit power. Then the blindness of Israel will be removed, and the blessings of the new dispensation will come to them, and through them to all the families of the earth, as God promised. That the church is the spiritual seed of Abraham to bless natural Israel and the world is clearly shown by St. Paul. Parables of the kingdom. Jesus' parables chiefly relate to the kingdom. Some of them show how the Jews failed to become heirs of the kingdom and how the Gentiles came in for a share. Others show the kingdom class suffering violence during this age as a part of their preparation for the kingdom glory. The kingdom of heaven class suffereth violence. The violent have dominated it by force for centuries. The parable of the king's son shows that the Jews had the first opportunity for joint heirship with Messiah in his kingdom. Then the Gentiles received the invitation. And these, not many wise or learned, have for 18 centuries been prepared for Messiah's kingdom. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? In the parable, the wedding garment represents a faith relationship with God through Christ's marriage. The one who discarded it was cast out of the bridal company. This prefigures the fate of all who reject the efficacy of the sacrifice of Christ in atonement for their sins. They will be forced out of the light of present truth into the outer darkness of the world. By and by, they will realize their loss of the kingdom with chagrin, weeping and gnashing of teeth. The pearl of great price illustrates the kingdom's priceless value. It is worth its cost, our all. The wheat field parable of the kingdom represents the church during this age. The wheat, almost choked out by tares of error, yet finally ripened and gathered into the heavenly garner, will be the sun of righteousness to usher in the new day of Messiah's kingdom. The parable of the talents represents how each consecrated disciple of Jesus is a steward of his own talent, and that according to his faithfulness will be his share in the kingdom. Faithfulness in using the few talents of the present will bring great opportunities for blessing the world in the next age. I will make thee ruler over many things. The prodigal son. The scribes, Pharisees, and doctors of the law were the elder brother of the prodigal son parable. Publicans and sinners, careless of spiritual privileges, were the prodigal estranged from their father's house. Jesus shows God's attitude toward the returning prodigal. For such he provides a feast, a blessing which all may share if they will. Those who received Jesus' message included not many great, wise, or noble, but chiefly penitent prodigals. The parable of Dives and Lazarus illustrated the same lesson. The Jewish nation was Dives, the rich man. His table, his spiritual food, the promises of God, was abundantly supplied. His raiment, fine linen, represented justification effected through the typical Atonement Day sacrifices. His purple robe represented symbolically the fact that he was identified with God's kingdom, purple being a symbol of royalty. Lazarus represented the hopelessness of the sinners and Gentiles who hungered for a share in the promises to Abraham, but who got only crumbs until Israel's rejection. The poor man's sores represented a sin-sick condition. The dogs which licked them represented the sympathy of Gentile dogs. This was illustrated in the Syro-Phoenician woman whose daughter Jesus healed. She was not a Jewess, and therefore Jesus at first refused to aid her, saying, "It is not proper to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." But she pleaded, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." Jesus gave her the crumbs. The rich man, the Jewish nation, died to his great blessing. Nationally, he fell asleep in Hades and awaits reawakening. But personally, the Jews passed into a great time of trouble, symbolically represented as fire for 18 centuries. Lazarus also died to his condition of disfavor and found himself in Abraham's bosom, a child of Abraham. Thus the Gentiles have become Abraham's seed and heirs of the spiritual part of the Abrahamic promise.